Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the very last line of Matzu Kosher B'Kis Barnaki B'Tabas. Our learning is once again sponsored by the Nishma Shalamas Pasayakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara is continuing the discussion of the Braisa. The Braisa mentioned that if a Shaliach Leholacha, he lost a get and he found it amongst the money bag or Arnaki is a wallet of a Tabas or amongst his ring. Oh, turning on to Chav Ches Amud Aleph, Oshem Matzu Bein Kelav, or if he found it at home amongst his other utensils that he has in the house, Afilu Zman Meruba, even if he found it after a long time, after the get was lost, the halacha is kosher. The get is in fact kosher. The fact that it was tied to these objects proves that it was the same get that he had in fact lost, and it's still kosher. So now the Gemara mentions Itmar that really is a machlokas amarayim about a similar topic. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, halacha shalosha adam sham. The halacha says that when you find it immediately in a case where no other person was there, that where the get was. Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yitzchak Mar Shmuel, halacha shalavar adam sham. When is it immediate? When there's no one person passed by there. So the Gemara says lema mar halacha kemar. So why doesn't Rav Yehuda say that the halacha is in accordance with the halacha of the Braisa of the Yesh Omrim? Umar halacha kamar, as Rabbah say the halacha is according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So why don't they just quote the Tanaim? So why do they have to state what their actual shitas were? This is the same achlokas that we have in the Braisa quoted. So the Gemara says they had to say explicitly which ones they had because there was a different Masorah who said what. Mishum da afkeluhu. There were people who switched around the names, and therefore the Braisa is not clear, and it wasn't clear who said what, and therefore there was one said the Yishomer, one said the Kershim ben Elazar. They had to say explicitly what was the halacha, so people don't get confused. This is the halacha, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Says the Gemara, Vaiter Matza b'chapisa b'deluskama. This was the Mishnah told us, that if you found a get in chapisa or deluskama, the Gemara is about to define it, if it's going to be kosher if you recognize it. My chapisa, what is this chapisa? Amar Rabba Barchana, chemes ktana. It's a bottle that was used to hold wine, like a water skin bottle type of thing that they used to hold wine. It's one of the things that's translated, I don't really actually know the Metzias. My deluskama, what is this deluskama? So Taliska desavi, that's a box that was held by old people to be able to keep their utensils so they don't have to look for them. They know exactly where they're put. And that's why they have them there. There's apparently a miyuchad for that, and that's why the get would be kosher. Okay, well, now to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that maybe get, if the guy is a 75-year-old man, and he sends a get, and so we can assume that the husband's still alive when he's giving the get. That would have ramifications. Obviously, she's not chayv, they don't have any children, she's not chayv in yibum, and she would be a grusha, not be allowed to marry a kohen. Afterwards, we can assume that the get was given by kashrus, on the assumption that the husband is in fact still alive. Bas Yisrael anusul kohen, if the daughter of a non-kohen is married to a kohen, v'halach b'ayla l'abdida sayam, and her husband went to chutzaret, ocheles b'truma v'cheskas shukayam, she's allowed to eat truma on the assumption that their husband is still alive. Right? So that's that truma, you could assume she's allowed a person who's married to a kohen, you could assume her husband's still alive if he goes on a trip. Hashaleh chatosim nisayam, similarly, someone is in chutzaret and he sends a chatos from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So also, Makriven also b'cheskas shukayim, the Kohanim can assume that the person who sent the Korban is alive, and it is not a chata shemesu balea, which would then be puzzle, and it would be puzzle to bring on the Mizbeach. So therefore, they could assume that it is in fact kosher. So Zez Gemara Amar Rava, this halacha, which we could assume a guy is still alive, is loshano elo zaket shalegia legvuros. That is up until a person reaches the age of Gvuros. Gvuros is 80. How do we know that? The Pasuk Ketilim says, that a regular lifespan is 70 years. But if a guy goes to Gvuros, he lives to extra strength, he gets till 80. So past that point, we already assume that once he's been 80, that you could assume maybe he did die any day. In a regular case of a person who's sick, that way we could assume that he's going to live. But a man already reached the age of 80, Vigosis, or a person who is about to die, Sharov goes to Misa, he's mamish on his deathbed. So then, lo, we do not have the cheska shuchai, and we would not be able to deliver such a get. Ace, Abai doesn't like that. Maybe get v'nichu zaken, and the Braisa seems to say explicitly against Rava. The Braisa says, maybe get v'nichu zaken, afilu ben mea shana, no sin lo becheska shuchayim. Even if the guy is 100 years old, we can assume that he is, in fact, still alive. So that's obviously more. Rava says already past the age of 80, we have to be choshes that he's dead. So the Gemara says to you, right, that's a kashin. Rava, we have a Tanaic source that seems to refute the Shita of Rava. Or Ibai Simon Lagmar says, no, this maybe could even work with Rava. Maybe it could say the following Taich. Kevin Iflig, that since he was able to be Nispalik, meaning he's different, meaning that he's clearly living last way longer than most people. He's already 100 years old, so then obviously he's a very strong man, and we can assume Cheska Shukayim, and he's a healthy person. We see like Rav Gershon, he was living till his last day, he was giving shir. I think the Mamish that morning, or I think he literally died writing his last piece, for this year, the day before that day. It's unbelievable. It's like unbelievable. Think about it. He wasn't even sick. Like he mamish till the last day was able to be moser Torah. A lot of crazy stories about it. He himself ruled his pikuach nefesh that he should go on Shavuos night to the hospital because he has trouble breathing. He said he has to go. He himself masked in that, and obviously it was. He ended up dying from that same issue. And also another thing that I heard is that he gave his different vadim, and this was the 600. They did 612. 612 was the Shmuz, and I think the 613th one was this, the last day, the very last day that he died, and I think he was writing it, and he ended up dying, so the Hespid, and the dying, that procession for his funeral was the 613th. Unbelievable. Special schluss that we had to be having him in our door. Anyway, so if he lives that long, then we could assume he's going to be able to continue living. So there is a shaila about this. What about from the age of 80? Meaning, when does it end? When is iflik? When does it turn into, according to this man, Damar? So it seems like machlokas rishonim. Some understand only once you get past 100. So from 80 to 100 every day, if he sends a shliach, he would not be chal, because he's not iflik yet. Others understand, no, until 90. Then once he reaches past gvuros, then he lives a whole another 10 years past the gvuros, then already at that point, he's now considered somebody who is able to continue living. And that is cheska shuchai. Rabbi le abaye le rabba, abaye es akasha from rabba, it's none. We learn in the Mishnah, let maybe get v'nichozak nechayla. The Mishnah tells us that if you have a shaliach who brings a get and he leaves him as a zaki, no sin l'bechesed shukayim. So he has the kasha though. He has the kasha between a different source. Uraminu hareiz a gita. If a person says to a kohen, says to his wife, "Here's your get." Sha'achas kodeh l'misaso, and he makes a tonight that it's going to be chal 1 hour before he dies. Asur la'echol b'trumi, and he gives her right now. So immediately, even if he's a 30 year old man, he is going to be, it's usher for her to eat truma, because we are concerned that the husband might die at that very moment, and she'll be eating truma, which is an isser misa b'dish shamayim, and retroactively the get was chal an hour before. In order to prevent this, the Braisa tells us that she is usher to eat truma. So lechora, this is against our Mishnah, the steer between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to not be concerned about misa, whereas over here, even for a healthy young guy, then even that, the person we are concerned for. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Rabbi says, Tabaye, Truma, Agitin, Karames. What are you asking Akasha from? Truma to Gitin, Truma, Asher, get lo Asher, that when it comes to Truma, it's possible for the wife to avoid it by eating other foods. So therefore, since it's a possibility to avoid the situation, we tell her to stop eating Truma the moment she received this get with the Tanai. Get lo Asher, but when it comes to a get, it's impossible to be concerned about the possibility that the husband dies, because then there's no get. Then you would never be able to give a get ever. So therefore, the Gemara seems to be saying that chazaka is an ability to rely on something, and it gives us when there is no other option, we can assume that the person is alive. However, if there is another option, then this chazaka is not strong enough to assume that we should tell her to eat the truma. Rather, we tell her to eat other food because she doesn't have anything else to eat. She has other things rather that she can be eating, and therefore we are really choshish for that. This seems to work very well with the famous idea Rav Shimon develops based on, it's already a Mordechai, and this is a famous raid, that when it comes to a chazaka, chazaka is anhaga. Chazaka is the way we tell you to act, but it's not the mitzias, as opposed to a rov, which is a mitzias. And there's a classic nafkamina, is like, can you swear? Like when it comes to a piece of meat, that the chazaka, there's a cheskas kashas on the piece of meat, for whatever case, let's say, we try to draw up, that the case of the piece of the meat is kosher. So if there's a chazaka, you're not a swear that it's kosher. You don't know that's a mitzias. The chazaka that tell you, this is the anhaga, this is what we tell you to act like it's kosher, as opposed to a rov. If I have three pieces of meat, and the famous three meatballs, one of them is treif, and two are kosher. So you're allowed to eat all three. I'll be rov, you're allowed to eat all three. Maybe not at the same time, that's a whole shaila. And they're shown, but you're allowed to eat all three. So if I take one out of those three, can I swear that that piece of meat is kosher? That meatball is kosher? So the answer is yes. I can swear that that meatball is kosher because that rov creates the metzias. That seems to work well over here. The chazaka is an haga, tells you that this is how you should act. So when it comes to a get, we're able to go all the way with that. But when it comes to the case of truma, where we don't have to rely on that hanaga, excuse me, so then we tell you that you do not, you should not be makil on the case of truma. So the Gemara says, though, Rami, truma, truma. But why are we asking the stira between the The idea of Shurma too. To get in, ask a stira between Shurma and Shurma. It's not in Bais Yisrael and Nesula Koin. Our Mishnah says, Bais Yisrael and Nesula Koin, V'alach Palad Mirzad, Yom Achaz B'Shurma, Chazka Shukayim. Our Mishnah tells you that if she goes, he goes on a business trip, she's allowed to continue eating Shurma. That's a great stira. And Uraminu, and the braces are raised, Gidech Shachach, it's going to miss. So, Asr La'echel B'Shurma Miyad. That's a much stronger question. Here you have a stira between the cases of Shurma itself, that when the husband goes away on a business trip, she's allowed to assume he's alive and eat Shurma. That's a chazaka, Chazka Shukayim. As opposed to when he gives the get and he says that this is Sha'achas Kodim Isaso, then it doesn't, and you have to be a chazaka that he's dead. What do you mean? That he's going to die. Why should you be, that's a stira, and it's mamish in the case of Truma, and that can't, you can't answer E.F. Shar there. Also say the same answer. So says the Gemara, Amravada Bereda Ryutzak, Shiny Hasim, the case of the brace is different because, sorry, Asra Alav Sha'achas Kodim Isaso. The husband prohibited his wife from eating Truma one moment before his death. So therefore, even though we are not concerned with the possibility of death, we know at some point he's going to die. So inevitably, it's going to take effect. And the husband is going to die, and it's disqualifying from eating Shurma. So since it's something that eventually will happen, so therefore she has to stop eating Shurma now. As opposed to when the husband is going on a business trip, we don't have to be cheskas that he died, and therefore we can assume that he is still alive. So the Gemara says that that's not really a good answer either, though. Maskev or Papa, Rav Papa has a kasha with that. Who's the husband's going to die first? Maybe the husband won't die, and the get won't be chal. You said it's because inevitably the get's going to be chal no matter what. Says Rav Papa, that's not true. It's not true that he's going to be chal no matter what. Maybe the husband will in fact die first, and therefore the wife will die first. And therefore the get was never chal. If she dies first, the get was never chal, and the divorce never took a place. So it's not something that inevitably is going to happen. That whole answer has now been rejected. So it says, really, in fact, the Mishnah and the Breisa reflect two different shitas of Tanaim. The Breisa seems to follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, whereas the Mishnah follows the shita of Rabbi Meir. Just then, we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, we had this Mishnah before about Demai. The Lacha is, someone who's he's buying wine from a kusi. Kusi, we assume that they were ger, it's all shaila throughout the Mishnayos. Are they really, were they really considered full converts and they just didn't keep certain halachas, or were they not converted at all? Until later, we understand they were Ovid of Azar, the Ramash like Goyim, the Chodorim. But throughout the Mishnayos, it's always a suffix what their status was. So therefore, the halacha is, we assume that they didn't take off Trumas or Mises. Omer, Shnei Lugan, Shani Asid, the Afresh. He can say the following. Two lugs that I will eventually separate from these 100 lugs of wine, Harei and Shuma, they're going to be Truma. Asara Maaser Rishon, so then after that, the 10 are going to be Maaser Rishon, Tisha Maaser Sheni, and the 9 are going to be Maaser Sheni Umecha, then he redeems the Maaser Sheni immediately by transferring them, the Kedusha, onto the coins. And what's the halach over there? You don't take that off yet, Veshos Miad, you're allowed to drink, as long as you're careful to leave over 2 from the barrel, and then 2 for Chuma, and then another 9 for Maaser, another for Maaser Sheni, another 10 for Maaser Rishon. If you leave that amount, that's fine. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what the Vashita of Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, Rav Shimon, Aisrin, Rav Yehuda over here is Machmir. So we assume that this is also that something might happen. So they are more machmir on something which is far fetched. So in the same way that they're machmir over here at this halacha, so too they're choshesh that maybe the husband is going to die at any moment, and therefore that's really just a machlokas tanaim. That is how we explain it. Rav Amar, turning on to Chav Chesamud Beis, Shema Meis Loi Chashinun. The concern that the husband has already died, that we're not concerned about. So the Mishnah is therefore telling you the husband goes on a vacation or a business trip, so then she's allowed to continue eating Truma. Shema Yomus Chayshin and Abar. We are concerned that perhaps a person might die very soon, and therefore we are concerned over there. So Rava seems to explain that they really are different cases. If a person was known to be alive, the Chazaka tells you that he's still living. It doesn't tell you, though, that he will live for any particular length of time. So in the Mishnah's case, then, where a Kohen went to a trip without divorcing his wife, she's allowed to assume that she's allowed to eat Truma while her husband is away, on the assumption that he left alive and now he's currently alive. Why is the Braisa's case different? The Braisa is telling us the case where the Kohen gave a get to his wife to take effect the last moment of his life. So from that time, she's allowed to eat Truma only if she knows that her husband will be alive at the next moment, not right now. In a minute from now is he going to be alive when she's eating. So that next moment, we can't. The chazaka doesn't establish the future. The chazaka can only establish what's taka happening at this very moment, and not what's in the future. And therefore, you are not allowed to eat the truma in that case. So says Gemara, Amar le Rav Ada bar Basna le Rav Avaha, no, but that's not really true, because the case of the wineskin, where there is reason to concern about potential that it should break, and that's in the future, the Chshema Yamasu, that's similar to the case that a person might die the next moment, Upligi, and the Tanaim disagree over whether or not that's considered something which you could rely on the Chazaka. According to Rav Meir, even there, you're allowed to rely on the Chazaka. So that seems to say that we do allow a chazaka to work for something that is going to happen in the future. Because the moment I'm drinking the truma wine right now, I can only be drinking the truma wine if I assume that the chazaka is that this wine barrel is not going to break when I'm drinking it in a moment from now, in a minute from now. And that's exactly like the case of the woman who might, the husband might be dying. That he might be dying in the future when he gives the get. That is not something that we have the right to be, to assume. And that's according to Rava. But yet, Rav Meir seems to say that it is okay. So, this lechora is a good kasha. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskarne, Shani midistakarta. Shani, no, the case of a note is different. To Efshe demaser leila shomer, because the owner can give the wineskin over to someone to watch it over, and in that case, it is able to be safeguarded properly, and therefore, it is not like Shema Yamus, because nobody can guarantee a person's life other than the Yibishter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's not something that anybody can take a chrayos over that. So says the Gemara, Maskev l'Rav Mashrashia, that what does that mean? That nobody can guarantee the wine either. Maybe something crazy will happen. Who knows? That's just like Hashem makes it that a person could die. So too, it could be a crazy, you know, lightning strikes the house and the windskin also gets destroyed, or some crazy wind happens that never a hurricane hits. Well, whatever it might be, but who can guarantee that? Elam Rava Shema Meis Loichashin. Rava says a different answer. The fact that a person has already died, we don't have to be concerned. Shema Yamos Tanai, that whether or not a person may die in the future, that in the Chanavi, it's a machlokas tanayim. So that brisa is following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that would be concerned for such a thing. And that and in the Chanavi, that the Rabbi Meir would agree with, disagree with that psak also. So it's not universally agreed of Shema Yamus, but that is something that is a machlokas tanayim, and that we can assume, even Rabbi Meir would say that that's okay. So meaning what comes out is that if a person says that he's giving a get al tanai, that 1 hour before he dies, what comes out is, according to Rabbi Meir, that you would be allowed to rely on it and eat the truma, assuming that he's not dying at that very moment. So now we're back to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that if you send a chatas from an inas hayam, the Kohen is allowed to be makrivin on the assumption that the guy is still alive. So the Gemara points out, v'albinam smicha, there's a concept called smicha. Not the smicha of getting it actually is a similar thing though. You put your hands on the person. That's all for another topic. Rosh Hashanah, as I say, we don't have real smicha. What was smicha? Smicha was ishma pish from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands on Yoshua to the Zakenim, and that was the Masorah that a person has the heter to be a Rav, to be able to paskin a shayla. So we already, during the times of the Moraim, there are stories about that they were Moser Nefesh during the times of Romans. That's when it really ended, the period of smicha, and there's nafkaminas for that. In order to be a real judge, to give Malkos, you have to be a samuch and other halachas also in order to be mekadesh chodesh and different things. We require smuchin. So that is what we have now. Rosh Hashanah, like to say, that's imitation smicha. We're giving a hetero or rav for people to be paskin is because they learn the sugyas. That's not really the smicha. The smicha is even Moshe Rabbeinu. We actually lost it. There's a whole famous idea of the Rambam. The Rambam actually says that you can reinstitute the smicha process if you have, I forgot what it is, of all the Gedolei Israel, of all the Rabbanim, and they actually tried to do it. And they did it in Tzfas, and they did it for two people, the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef famously had smicha from the Shita of the Rambam. I once heard, I think Rosh Hashanah said this over, that the Masorah is why the Sfaradim are like, whatever, why was Beis Yosef the Shulchan Aruch the way, even Ashkenaz, we rely on many, you know, 90% of the time they're not disagreeing. But we rely on Shulchan Aruch because he had the schus, because he had the smicha. He was one of the only two people since the Tanaim. We're talking about 2,000 years. There's only two people in the world. I forgot who the second person, Mari Birah. Somebody amongst with him. That other person isn't as famous, but I think it was someone who was big. Obviously, Yisrael Malachim. But and there was all controversy whether or not it worked, and then they didn't accept, and then they stopped it. But either way, why did I bring this all out? Because smicha is actually leaning. And leaning is the same connotation for that smicha, but here is the smicha with regards to an animal. The halacha is that a person has to do smicha v'samach yado al rosh ha'ol, or whatever. Or here also we're talking about samach yado al chatas, he needs smicha. And he has to do a vidui over that korban to ask Hashem for forgiveness. We're talking about a person who does a korban bishogeg, right? Maybe bishogeg. You made a mistake. You didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos properly, and you made a mistake on a halacha that was an iser de oreisa. So then you have to bring a korban chatas and ask Hashem for forgiveness. So that it has to be done, and it's not something can be done through a shlucho. That's shlucho doesn't work. So you can't appoint a shliach for that. So how could it be that someone sends a chatas? The whole idea of the chatas, the mesu baleah, that's because specifically the korban chatas is the one that's a problem. Other korbanos wouldn't necessarily be a problem. So when it comes to the chatas, though, the Gemara has another problem with that. That's not metzias, though. If the guy had a chatas that he has to bring, he has to come to the base of Mikdash and do the vidui himself. So says the Gemara, we also see that the fundamental thing, that when a person wants forgiveness, you can't like ask someone, you can't have someone else do it for you. That when you need to be the one to be able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to man up to your averus. Anyway, the Gemara says, we require the leaning of Rav Yosef by Korban Nashim. The Mishnah is talking about a Korban of Nashim, and that's because the Pasuk says in Kiddushim, we learn it now, Dabar al B'nai Yisrael, and V'samach B'nai Yisrael. So we learn, so that V'samach rather, Dabar B'nai Yisrael, V'samach. So the Rashi says, B'nai Yisrael, Somchin, V'ain, B'nai Yisrael, Somchin. That's the Drasha, which we learn that Nashim do not have to do the Smicha process. Rav Papa Amar B'chatas Ha'of. Now we're talking about Chatas Ha'of, that under certain circumstances, you brought a Chatas that was an Of, and you don't need to have Smicha. It doesn't require smicha on birds. So that's the halacha. So it would be two ways to be answering that. Utsricha. So now the Gemara goes on to another point, is why does the Mishnah mention three different cases because of cheskas ruchai? We had it by the case of the woman with the get. We had the case also with regards to the woman eating truma. And the third case also with regards to the person who is bringing a korban. So the Gemara says, Iyashman and get, because if you only told me the halacha of a get, mishum de lashar. Because it's impossible that they have any other situation about truma de lashar. When it comes to truma and her husband went outside, they'll say, eat something else and don't rely on the chazaka. That was the original answer we even gave. So we come to before that answer, an emelo, so therefore I would say that we do not rely on it, and therefore the Mishnah had to tell you that we in fact don't say that, and we do accept that chazaka. Vyashman and Truma said, if you told me Truma, I would have dimmed the Lashar. Because it's possible, where the Kohen's wife was very poor, and she has mamish nothing to eat. So in the rare circumstances, that's what the Mishnah is telling you, that it's okay. But nowhere else would it be okay. Of Achatas Of, Misveka, that there, since there's a doubt whether the person's alive, he should not bring Chulin. There's an Itzar that writes to bring Chulin to Azara, because if the guy dies, that's the whole shadr. Biki Vega is very bothered by this. What do you mean, Chulin Azara? At the very least, it's a Chata Shemesa Baleh, but who says that it removes the Kedusha and it's no longer considered Hektish? It's still be Hektish, it's still Psul, fine, but what the Lashon of the Gemara bothered him? What is it, Chulin? Anyway, the Gemara said Tzricha, therefore we can assume that all three of these cases, the person is Cheska Shehu Chai. Let's go up to the next. Mishnah tells us, Shlosh Dvar Mamar Abelazar Ben Parta, Lefnei Chachamim Mekamus Dvarav. They confirmed what he had said. Al Ir Shekifa Karkum, if there was a town that was under siege, Balasfinish Medaris Vayam, or a ship that was in a crazy storm, and there was a person who was being charged with a capital crime to be killed, but they're only being he's in the court right now. By all these three cases, all these are presumed to be alive. The chazaka tell you they're still alive. If the town already had been captured by the invading army, or a ship which is completely lost at sea, nobody had seen it, nobody heard about it, somebody was going out to be executed. So if we don't, and nobody actually saw the person die, the halacha is that we're going to have the stringencies on both. Meaning, we're going to see the very next point of the Mishnah. If a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, so she has to assume that he died, and she's no longer allowed to eat Truma. And a Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, who doesn't have any children, let's say, so if she in fact had died, if he had in fact died, she goes back to her father's house to allow to eat Truma. But we're not allowed to assume that he actually is dead for that point. Both of those cases, you have to be Machmir, and assume that you would not be allowed to eat Truma. Says the Gemara of Yosef, Lo Shanu El Beisdin Shel Yisrael. The lacha over here is that this is only a Beisdin Shel Yisrael in the case where the person is being judged to be executed. We could give him a cheskas chayim because we always want a Veitilo Seida. We want to stop it as much as possible. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Aval beveistin shalav dekuchavim. The famous idea of the Gemara Makos, the mission over there, that if Rabbi Kiva said a retard for them, they were there on the beistin, they would have made sure that it never would happen. So we're always trying to find a way to stop the person from being killed. However, beod dekuchavim kevin degamrelei lektala. But once they've seen him executed, sorry, we're on the safe right now. Where you're executed, that you're nidon to be executed, even by beistin shel Yisrael, we can assume that maybe he's still alive. But then they're definitely going to execute him, and we don't have to be machmir that maybe he's still alive. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? They'll take bribes. He'll find a way to get $1 million, and he'll get out of there." So Amar Le Kishakle in the Kamidach and Parsa Shenamag Shenamag Alavada and Michlam Parsa Shenamag Lo Shakle. No, once the verdict had been signed, once it was signed, they're not going to even go back on it. Meaning, if they didn't sign on it, you're right. That maybe we have to be cheskas chai, cheskas maybe, because maybe he'll find a way to bribe them. Maybe he's taka still alive. But if they signed on his death warrant, he's chayv nisa, then even them wouldn't, it's too embarrassing for them to uproot that din, and they wouldn't do that. So the Gemara now has a kasha of Yosef that a Jewish court would not be considered final. The halacha is based on the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Makos. The Mishnah over there in Dav Zayin says that if you have a case where two witnesses come and they say, hey, we are going to be made that this person was Nigmar based Dino Shaploni, and these were his witnesses. The halacha is we execute him. Maybe the court would have found a reason to overturn his halacha. We don't have to assume that way. In the chesga that he definitely is going to, he should be killed. So the Gemara says Dilma Barachshan, the person who ran away, who's condemned, is going to be different. That's not a good kasha, because if he obviously escaped, that clearly shows that he was running away because he assumed that he should be, in fact, killed, which is a little bit difficult to understand, because maybe in a Hanami they'll find he knew he was innocent, but he had no other way to get out of there, so he ran away. I don't know. So the Gemara says Tashma, find another proof from the Braisa. Shama based in Shel Yisrael. Shayu Omrim, that they heard someone in Jewish court saying, Ishponi Mis, Ishponi Nera. Person died, this person was executed, and he makes it Edus Yasuas Ishto. Then, based on that testimony, we could permit his wife to remarry again. Mikum Marsin Shel of the Kochavim, however, if someone heard from the executioners of people who are of the Kochavim, Ish Ploni Meis, Ish Ploni Nerag, Al Yisus Ishto. We do not permit his wife to remarry on the basis of the testimony. So the Gemara says, My Meis and My Nerag. What does it mean, the Lashon, that he died or that he was executed? Elam Meis Mamash, that he just died, naturally. So V'Nerag, Nerag Mamash, or he was executed. But when it comes to Ovdei Kochavim, if they heard, oh, by the way, you know, Reuben was killed. Nebuch, Reuben died in jail. Amai Lo Yisus Ishto, why would they not be able to remarry based on the statement of the Goy? Hi, Kamalam. The Kol Masiach Levitumo Mehem Neomnele. What do you mean? When it's Masiach Levitumo, then a goy is, if a boy has edus, if he knows he's being made on something, we do not believe a goy. A goy has no nemanus. However, if he was just saying casually to his friend something else, then it actually has halachic significance, and we're allowed to believe him for certain halachas. So here also is one of those halachas that if a goy says something to another goy and you overheard it, so if he just said Masiach Levitumo, he's talking in his innocence literally, meaning that he's talking casually, so then the halacha is that we are allowed to believe him. So why would that not be the case? So it can't be that the Rebbe is talking about. Rather, Elalav, Meis Yotilim is what it means that he died. It means that he's going to die. Nerag Yotilarag. And Nerag means that he actually was, in fact, that he's going to be executed. Now, he wasn't executed yet. V'ketanei v'beis din Yisrael Yisus Ishto, you're allowed to marry again because we assume that he definitely was going to be executed. This is against Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, no, the Olam Meis Mamish. We're actually talking about someone who literally died. Nerag Mamish, and also that he had actually been killed. Aye, so your kasha was, why can't we believe the goyim? That was a good kasha, that when he's speaking in his innocence, he's speaking casually, we do believe him. So the Gemara says now, honey, mile, that case only applies, but milsa de lo sheichabe, the matter which they do not relate to, about milsa de sheichabe, that which is something that they take pride in, avde, lachzuke, shikrayo, that they would in fact want to be lying about, so this would be an exception to the rule. We said, not every case do you rely on Masiach Levitumo. If it's something that they would be dragging about, look at that Jew I killed, so then obviously that's something which they're not necessarily believed, and we cannot assume on that chazaka, maybe he's just making up something in order to brag about it, and not actually that this was in fact true. Ika de Arme, another answer of Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef, a different way that Rav Yosef had been stated, lo shanu ala the lach of the Mishnah, that Ovdei Kochavim could be bribed, the veitzin shal Ovdei Kochavim. And therefore, he may not have been executed. Aval beis din shel Yisrael, turning on to Chavtes and Aleph, when it comes to beis din shel Yisrael, kevan denafik le dina lektala, that once a person's death sentence has been issued, then we assume that he's definitely going to kill them. Amar le abaye, beis din shel Yisrael, nami afshel de chazud le'ezuchuzim. What do you mean? Maybe they'll find a reason to acquit him and say that he and overturn the fact that he was chayv misa. So the Gemara says, no, that was all before. If they found no possible way during when the verdict was decided, we know, and they decided even so, all these things, he knew that it was an issue to raise him to violate Shabbos, and he was warned, and we tried to find every situation, and maybe the Psalim warned him. No, all those cases, too low, so the halacha is, the court will definitely not find another reason to acquit him. Now, obviously, this is nothing, Rashi points out, klomer lo shchiach, meaning it's still possible that not only that, the Mishnah tells us it's an edgin. The Mishnah tells us, or the fifth paragraph or something like that, the Mishnah tells us over there that they used to have someone who would wait there, who wait on a horse, be far enough from the basin where they would be, the Eseskila, where they were going to be killing him, to maybe that someone would be able to find him as chus, even then. So we obviously set up the situation where maybe that's possible, but we set up the situation correct. By the end of the day, we did not assume that that was something that would definitely, or even likely, happen. And that would be the answer over here. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayele. So maybe we could actually bring a support for Rav Yosef. Kol Makom Shem Dushnayim V'Yomru. Any place which two people stand up and say the following, Me'idim Anu Esish Ploni, Shenig Marbino V'Estin Shel Ploni, Uploni Ploni Eda V'Arizei Harek. So the Mishnah tells us that we don't assume that the sentence was overturned. So the Gemara answers no, that we reject the proof with what we brought as the original way. Again, we said this with Rav Yosef differently. So now, Dilma Borech Sheni, the person who's running away is different, as we mentioned before, because running away maybe shows that he actually was, in fact, condemned. Then we could assume that he was, in fact, condemned to death, and there was a final verdict, and he should have been, lechora, executed. Okay, but as we'll pick up with the Tashma, and Rav Hashem on tomorrow's daf.